frankly want to just look at vision and relationships as we proceed into the conference. For the people who are not yet married here today, what has vision got to do with relationship? And for those of us who are married, what has vision got to do with relationships? Please open your Bibles to where we stopped last month, in Genesis chapter 24, and I'll be reading from verse 1. Genesis 24. And Abraham was old. Verse 11. Let's go. We already know that. Yes. And Abraham sent his servant to go out and get a wife for his son Isaac. In our contemporary days, that could be you as a young man going out or being out on the lookout for a wife. Verse 11, and he made his camels to kneel down within the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. I'll stop in verse 14. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I'll give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and therefore shall I know that thou hast shown kindness to my master. Jump to verse 64. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. And verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. I announce to somebody here today that as you look up to the Lord shall open your eyes to visions and revelations, and you shall look up and you shall soon see your camels coming in the name of Jesus. If there is a believer in the house, you shout aloud, amen. Vision and relationships. Everything rises and falls upon vision. Everything in life rises and falls upon vision. Yesterday, in the service yesterday, the senior pastor ministered powerfully on the benefits or the profits of vision. And I was greatly blessed. My life transformed. And it's still a message that I'll be sitting down to walk with and walk on and run with. I realized that one of the key secrets of his life and destiny is that he's a man of vision. And everything you know about vision, putting vision to work and the practicality of vision, I guess that he's a great example and a living testimony of that. I believe, God, that by the time we're through with this conference, that God will be giving something to somebody in the name of Jesus Christ. Why are we looking at vision? It's been our month. We've been looking at the issue of vision. And so we're going to look at it as far as relationships is concerned. You can only attain or achieve as far as you can see. Like he said, what occupies your mind or your heart is what will occupy or be a reality in your hands. So what you see about yourself and about your relationship is what you will end up becoming in life and in destiny. Again, we had looked at this passage of scriptures last month. We're looking again and we're continuing again in what we went through last month. And in verse 11, we're going to look at what the servant of Abraham said. What was it that occupied his mind? And then how did it manifest in the prayer that he prayed? But before I go into that, in verse 11 it says, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening. That is the time that women come out to draw water. I want to start by saying that there is a timing for everything in life. There is a timing to be married. There's a timing to have a home. There is a timing to stay single, a timing to be married, a timing to raise a family. There's a first point, A, that I'll say under that is, do not be in the wrong place at the right time. There is the right time for everything in life. There are seasons and times that people have missed their opportunity. And the B point that I'd like to make under the fact that there is a right timing in everything is that there is a best time to be married. There is a best time to start a home. There is a best time to have a family. But I'd like to let you know before your heart fails you that now is that best time for your life and your destiny, for those who are not yet married, in the name of Jesus Christ. Some people say that they have missed the flower of their age. Some people say that they have missed the timing. But I'd like to let you know that in Christ, being born again, Jesus is about to set you in your right timing, in your right place. And if you believe that, you shout aloud, amen. But I'd like to sound a note of caution at this time that sisters, from this time, having received this word into your life, from this time henceforth, you are not going to dilly-dally and play with anybody that comes around your life again. Young man, you are not going to take this as a time to be joking and playing with people's emotions. You must understand that if you are not ready for a relationship to start, there's no need hanging around that fireplace. You don't want to cook. You don't want to put anything on the pot. There is no need flaming up the fires and raising the hope of a young lady and making her believe that you are interested in her. If you are not interested to marry and you know that that is what is on her mind, stay away. Don't follow her to her house. You are eating rice and spaghetti and indomie and everything. And then at the end of the day, you come and present somebody else to her that this is who you want to marry. There is a right timing. If that is not, stay away from her and face your life until it is time to marry. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you, young men, there is a way you are just hanging around a young lady. In your mind, though, you are just friends. In your mind, it's just a good venue for rice in the evening. That's all that's in your mind. But for a young lady, that is not what is in her mind. You ate the food and said, this is so delicious. My goodness, I haven't seen anybody cook indomie like this before. How do you do it? And the girl's hope is rising because that means she's a good cook that is being a potential wife. Hallelujah. There is a right timing for everybody. Young lady, enough of the guy you have been making. If the man asks you to marry him, you don't need to carry it to your friends or your distant auntie and uncle and cousin and relation. They are also waiting for their own time. And who are you that somebody should come? They will definitely discourage you. Your first point of call is not your friends. It's not your neighbor. It's not that other sister that is your prayer partner. Your first point of call is God. Lord, is this the person? And then you take your time. What have you been taught? What have you understood as per it takes to arrive at who you are to marry? And then you make a decision on time. Stop beating around the bush. Does he fit the criteria? Is he born again? Is he filled with the Holy Ghost? Is he working? Does he do something significant? Does he love his mother and respect his mother? You know, a man that doesn't respect his mother can have no regard for you. Is he a person after God's own heart? And those kind of things you've heard us teach again and again and again. Analyze it. All men are not the same height. So why are you insisting that he should be 6'5"? Are you 6 foot yourself? There are things that we must stop wasting our time and wasting our lives. I want to announce to somebody today, as God is correcting our mentality, the next man that comes, God shall bring the right person your way in the name of Jesus. The delay is over after today in the name of Jesus. The delay is over today in the name of Jesus. If it is a spirit husband disturbing you, I cast them out in the name of Jesus. If it is an ancestral curse that is holding you down, today that ancestral curse is arrested. Shout aloud, amen. So that's the right time for everyone. Let's go on to our main points this evening. Number two is a clear vision and a picture of what you desire is very important. If you look at what we read in verses 12 and 13, I'm going to just share with us some points. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 points from there. From verse 12, the man says, "Oh, Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day and show kindness to my master." Number one is speed. Lord, I don't want to waste time as far as the issue of marriage is concerned. Grant me speed. Let me know the person on time. Let the person come on time. You have that picture before you. Then it means that as soon as something begins to unfold, you know that this could be in line with what your desire is with God. Number two, in verse 13, it said, the man took and he stood by the well of waters, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And then he prayed that prayer in verse 14. Let it be who I ask. Let's read it so that I'll stop. I'll just go through the points. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink. And I'll give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And therefore shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. All right, so point number two. Let the vision be clear. Let what you desire be clear. Point number A under that is speed. I already said that. And point number two, the daughters of the city. His emphasis was he went to where he would meet the daughters of the city. You are desiring marriage as a born-again man. You do not look in the camp of the enemy. You look in the household of God. Daughter of God, you want to be married. You are not looking in the camp of the enemy. You are looking and trusting God that somebody will manifest in the household of God. You see, beloved, one of the worst things that can happen to a person is to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. It gives you an unsteady life. It is a struggle. It can never be an easy ride where there is an unequal yoking, where there is no balance in the realm of the spirit, where there is no balance in the things of God. And so Abraham's servant went for one of the daughters of the city, someone who is born again, a child in the house, somebody who is as Christian as you are. Number C, a person of character. That also refers to a daughter of the city, a person of character, a person that you can depend upon, a person whose yes is yes and whose no is no. Now, I'm not going to differentiate between the male and female. Every one of these points applies to either one of us, as the case may be. Number D is a person that is hardworking. He went out looking for those who are hardworking. A man wants to marry a hardworking woman. A woman wants to marry a hardworking man. Nobody wants to take the responsibility for the care of the home entirely, single-handedly. It is not very comfortable. If, for instance, you are married, the married people here in the house today, you are married and you are a full-time housewife, excellent. But as a full-time housewife, it is not a guarantee that you sleep from morning till night. That is a responsibility that you have to ensure that the home is in order, to ensure that the children are in order, to ensure that the house is kept well, to ensure that meals are on time. Your husband shouldn't come back home and he's looking for what to eat and you've been at home all day. Or maybe you went to work and you are back. There is a way to be so hardworking that you are able to organize your schedule. You put things in place. It's not when your husband is in the shower, about to have a shower, and he says, "Dear, I need soap." Then you start going out to look for the malam at the corner of the road to buy soap. You should be organized enough to know, okay, this is a spare. Have things in place. Have things in order. My Mudok says, all order is the accurate arrangement of things. That is why you do not eat in the garage, and that is why you do not sleep in the kitchen. There is a right place for everything. There is a right time for everything. And so, beloved, a man wants to marry a hard-working woman. A woman wants to marry a hard-working man. Nobody likes laziness. Nobody likes who sleeps all day, all night, and is never attentive to what their responsibilities are. The scripture says there, and he said in his prayer, he says, let me go out and one who comes out to draw water. One who comes out to draw water. One who is on active assignment. One who is on active duty. One who is not locked up. You see, I told one young lady the other day, I said, which department are you in church? She barely had a department. She didn't have anywhere she ministers in church. I said, so what do you do? She said she comes to church. After service, she leaves. And I said, you are praying for husband. Where is he going to see you? From the moon? You are not in a department. You are not in the workforce. There's nothing you do in church. You are not helping to do the work of the Lord. You are not in a group with anybody else. She might not even have been in a home church. There is no how you are locked up in your room from morning till night and you expect to see who is going to come and marry you. Be involved in the house of the Lord. Be involved in the work of the Lord in his house. Be part of the assignment. Be busy in the adventure of the Lord. Do something that God will be pleased with you. And in the process of God being pleased with you, somebody will sight you, notice you. I wasn't doing what I was doing before I got married because I wanted somebody to see me, to marry me. But I was doing the work of the Lord. Wake up early in the morning, 4 a.m., 5 a.m., and I'm out on morning cry. I'm moving from this hostel to the next, standing at the bottom of the hostel, I'm preaching to them, give your life to Jesus Christ. Why would you live on earth and waste your life? What will it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose your soul? And so on and so forth. I'll get into the bus to move from the hostel area to the lecture area, and I'll stand up and say, good afternoon, gentlemen and ladies. I'd like to tell you about Jesus Christ. I found Jesus and it has given me joy and peace. I'd like you to also have the same experience, not knowing that somebody was watching me. Praise the Lord. But that isn't what brought him. But at least it was a point to that I was not hidden somewhere. You can't be hiding somewhere and expect to be seen. Say, he that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. Something has to be findable to have been found. I announce to you today, your days of being relegated to the background are over forever in the name of Jesus. F. He said, someone who is coming to draw water. Drawing of water is drawing and distribution of refreshment. That's still in verse 13. Drawing and distribution of refreshing. Refreshing. You remember, out of their bowels flow rivers of living water. Be a refresher. Be one that is a carrier of the anointing, a carrier of the Holy Ghost, a carrier of divine presence. Be one that is identified with God. Now, interestingly, my husband and I were in the same university. But for one reason or the other, I didn't know him as in recognize him and know him. Until one day I went to a fellowship meeting and he was the one that was preaching in the fellowship. And I turned to the person sitting beside me and said, who is this guest minister? Where did he come from? He came, he was on so much fire. He was refreshing the souls of the brethren. He was distributing the word of God. I remember he used to pray for me for God to give me a very good husband. Can I ask you a question? Did God answer his prayer or not? Over answer, self. Praise the Lord. Be a person that is refreshing the brethren. Be a person that is a carrier of the anointing, a carrier of the grace of God. Praise God. And number G is hospitality. Be a hospitable person. Be a person that is easily given to hospitality. Remember when the servants went forth, the servant said to them, he said, prayed to God and said, somebody that I'll ask for water, and the person will agree to give me the water. And the person will also offer to water my animals. A person who is hospitable. A person who is not stingy. A person who is not afraid to walk, to give out. Willing to give. Willing to be generous. A person who wants or who is ready to be hospitable to others. And married women, your hospitality starts with your husband. Your accommodating nature starts with the person you are married to. There are women who can say yes sir, yes sir, yes sir to everybody in the world, but not to their husband. Say, ah, my husband, why should I say sir to my husband? He's not my husband. So my question is, if you will not acknowledge your husband with respect, who on earth are you going to acknowledge with respect? He's your number one superior officer. People are very polite to their medical doctor, to their lawyer, to their banker, to their pastor, to their, what else is very important to people? And they are very polite to them. It doesn't even matter the age difference. They do them, yes sir, yes sir. They courtesy to acknowledge them and to greet them. But they are not ready to be so with their husbands. I've always said this, and I'll keep saying it, and I'll keep on ingraining it. When we first got married, working as a medical doctor, I was used to the fact that the medical doctor more or less is the head of the medical team. And when you are in the hospital setting, you are there. You know, imagine you are on call and at the accident and emergency, the emergency unit. And, you know, you are rushing to save the life of somebody. And you are calling, nurse, bring this. You bring that. Can I call the lab. They should come and take the blood. Grouping and cross-matching. Quickly, get ready. Get blood set. And you are shouting and commanding everybody. Jack, bring the sphinx. This one, do that. Elevate the legs. Set up monitor. Get the x-ray ready. Let's get the skull x-ray done. You are all over the place. If you come back home, and like I say, you don't put a step-down transformer in front of your husband's name, the tendency is as you finish cooking the food and you put it on the table, say, Jack, come and take your food and eat. Because you've been talking at that frequency. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Can you imagine calling your husband like that and say, Jack, come and take your food and eat? No. You put a step down transformer. Dear, honey, darling, daddy, oga, baba, risi, and Baba Sikiratu, whatever. The important thing is not what you put. The important thing is that there is a step-down transformer. It pulls you down. It carries the energy, the high-tension cable energy that you've been operating all day, and it brings it down and steps it down, and then it quietens your voice. And then, before it will be hard for you to say, honey, come and take your food. It doesn't work that way. Praise the Lord. Some of these things are literally so. Well, it's good to call your husband, your wife, baby. Call your husband, baby. Okay, it's fine. But personally, I don't subscribe to wives calling husbands, baby. Because the way I talk to my baby at times when the baby is naughty, if I call you baby, I might talk to you like the baby. Your baby, my friend, grab that thing. You want to break that bottle? It's okay. If baby is your step-down transformer, no challenge. But make sure that there is a step-down transformer that is helping you in your relationship. So your hospitality, your respect, politeness, and all that starts with your husband, and then it translates to every other person in your vicinity. And H is understand who you are. Isaac said, thanking God at the end of his prayer in that verse 13, he said, for providing for your servant Isaac. 14, I beg your pardon. Providing for your servant Isaac. There it is. That thou has appointed for thy servant Isaac. And therefore have I known that thou has shown kindness to my master. Understand that you are a servant of God. Understand that you are a child of God. It boils down to the first thing that we said, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. You are a servant of God. You are a princess of the household of God. You can't condescend to go and marry an anyhow person. You are a prince. You are a king, a royal priesthood. You are not gonna go and compromise and defile the bed and make God to be displeased at your life or your destiny. And finally, second to finally, the last point, number three is Rebecca lifted up her eyes and she saw Isaac. You see, beloved, most times when you see the person, you will know the person. Most times it's not too hard. It's not a big struggle. Don't struggle. If your heart doesn't resonate with the person, give it time. Don't rush into any marriage. A broken relationship is better than a broken marriage. That's a broken engagement. It's better than a broken marriage. Don't rush into anything. Let it resonate. And finally, what we see in verse 63 concerning Isaac. The Bible tells us, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Isaac went out to meditate, meditating on the word, meditating on the reality of God, meditating on the goodness of God, meditating on his vision of a wife that he wanted, whatever his meditation was. But he was in the presence of God and he was looking up to God. And what was the outcome? He looked up to God, and then he looked forward and he saw the camels coming. Anytime we want to have the best can only come from God. When we are inspired by God, the best only comes from God. As Isaac lifted us up his eyes to look, then the camels came, and the camel carried to him and brought to him his wife, his helpmeet, the one that was to help to comfort him and wipe away his tears and grant him strength and help him to fulfill destiny. I announce to somebody today, as we look up to God in this conference, whether it is concerning the issue of marriage, concerning the issue of ministry, in whatever ramification, I announce to you, the camel shall come to you. Your camel shall come to you. They shall not come empty. They shall come loaded in your direction. If you are a believer, jump up on your feet and shout a loud amen. Lift up your hands and your voice tonight and let us talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Madam, your husband is your number one recipient of your honor, your respect, your reverence. You are to reverence him as the head. You are to put him in a place of high esteem. It's not a competition, but anything that has two heads is a monster. You cannot be the head at the same time with him being the head. So you recognize that he is the head and you are under subordination, and then there's a flow. Things will work. Lift up your voice tonight and let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Father, we give you praise. Leko toko sati kalabara balaba. Leta sata kalabara balaba. Lete kele koto sakata kalabara ba. Lero to sete kele balabalaba. Mantere to sakita kala dia sato kobala. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for your word today. We look up to you for your help. Thank you, Lord. As we proceed in this meeting, we receive an encounter with you that will transform our lives and destinies in Jesus' name.